We are a people of prophecy. God's prophetic word brought us forth. And that means our lives are regulated by prophetic utterance. The body moves in the direction of what is in the mouth. Your words are laws. We are here to live out the word of God. I told you. This is why we talk for a living. No man ever became greater than the quality of the word he spoke and heard. It's for we are children of the prophets. We are products of their prophetic utterances. And of the covenant which God made with our father Abraham.
Welcome to Prophetic Utterance with Pastor Caris P. Amewels.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You know, when you pray like this, you want to continue praying. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Prophetic Utterance, part 7, I believe. We're wrapping up today. The teaching on prophetic utterance, and I encourage you as usual, if you have not been around, kindly get the materials at the message distribution stand outside after this. Amen. They are free. Hallelujah. It will bless you. You see, words are powerful. Words have powerful impact on our lives and on our environments. Very important. If all you did in life was to go to school and study words, you have succeeded. Did you hear what I said? It's amazing. I noticed back in school that the things that make for real success in life are not taught in schools. I always put out that how many of you had a class, a lecture back in school when they taught you how to make money? It's rare, amen. If they did that, if they are doing that, it should be recent. It's okay, how to manage your finances, how to grow your wealth, how to deal with poverty. They just assume that after you are done from school, you should not be poor. Is that not a lie? There are people with PhD who are broke. Amen. Glory to God. So, but you were never, and I assure you, if you don't understand how money works, it can be frustrating. Trust me, it can be very frustrating. You don't understand how money works, how the operations and the dynamics of cash flow or finances, boy. You may not fulfill your destiny. Quote me anywhere. Is that serious? Is that serious? People pretend about these things till they are faced with real life issues. What am I saying? Money is important to your life, to the fulfillment of your life assignments. You know, I noticed that Jesus in his earth walk used money. My approach to finances changed from that moment. I said, what? The Son of God came to the world doing ministry and he had to use money? Even had the treasurer, Judas Iscariot, who was a thief. The Bible says he took from the purse. But he had a treasurer. The Bible says he had people that ministered to him of their substance. So Jesus, because of the law of territory, what do we mean by the law of territory? He lived on the earth. He carried out his ministry on the earth. He had to live by certain rules that govern the earth. Is somebody listening to me? But you see, in school, you are not taught financial management. Did they ever teach you in school how to be a good husband? How to be a good wife? How to be a good father? They say, today we are taking a course in parenting, GSD. Parenting. Correct parenting. But I assure you, if you don't understand the principles of parenting, you may live the second half of your life on that side. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? So what happens? We live the important areas of our lives to assumptions. Can you see that? We lead them to assumptions. And assumptions are the lowest level of knowledge. Assumption is the lowest level of knowledge. So low, you can't trust them. You can't depend on them. This is very important. When you understand this, you take certain things more seriously. You take certain things more seriously. The word of God is our guiding light. The Bible says your word is a light to my path, a lamp to my feet, right? A light to my feet, a lamp to my path. Or the other way around. Hallelujah. The word of God lightens our paths. Meaning it gives us direction. Meaning it gives us, it shows us the way to go. It shows us what is, what can be. It unveils to us our potentials. What we can be that we are not yet. What we can do that we are not doing yet. Hallelujah. If you spend your whole life studying and living the word of God, you are a success already. Very important. Get this from this service. Never live life by assumption. Never. The same thing with marriage. I say, is no man and woman come together, they love themselves, you are joking. You receive a huge shock. Huge shock. Go for the knowledge of God's word. Understand the power. I'm talking about the power of words. I said words in themselves. I'm not talking about the word of God yet. Words in themselves have power. They have great impact over our lives. Some of you have seen, some of you have heard how that the child who grew up and was always hearing, you are useless, foolish girl, you are ugly, and they grow up with a defect in their personality. They grow up with low self-esteem. But you see, the world has lied to us. They say, words will never break me. They say, do this, but words will never break me. We heard that joke. Stones and sticks will break my leg, but words is a lie. Is a lie. Words can break. Words can make. Words can break. Words can make. Have you noticed that wars, all the wars all over the world, battles and wars started because of words, and they finished because of words? Words are that powerful. They have great impact over environments. But you see, the prophetic word has the greatest impact. I told you last week that words are different energy levels. Meaning the words you speak, oh, you are so beautiful. Oh, you are blessed. Oh, they are powerful. You are a good man. You are a good guy. You are a good girl. They are powerful. The hand of God is upon me. They are powerful. In this life, I will succeed. Powerful words. But the most powerful is the prophetic word. Prophetic words at high energy level. Or words with high energy level. Oh, the natural, the affirmations, the typical confessions will make, they have power. But I tell you that they may take a long time for performance. However, when you inject prophetic word, they are high energy level. So the performance is faster. Glory to God. Am I talking this morning? Why? The throne of heaven is back of every prophetic word. Every time we speak in accordance, in synchrony with what God has said, we commit God to perform. Very important. Whether you are speaking to your body, speaking to a city, speaking over a family, speaking over your marriage, over your finances, over your academics, whatever it is, you are speaking for the words for the advancement of the kingdom of God, and you are speaking words that are energized by the Spirit, God is back of it. He watches over it to perform it. He watches over it to perform it. Hallelujah. I believe it was last week also I told you the difference. So what makes it prophecy? What's the difference between the words I speak, the good words I speak, and prophetic words? What is the difference? Are they the same? I would say no. The prophetic words are words inspired by the Spirit, spoken under the anointing. Hallelujah. And this is why God wants every Christian to prophesy. Oh, we emphasized that last week. Every Christian should and must prophesy. Prophecy is not a word of knowledge. Prophecy is not a word of wisdom. It's not discerning of spirits. It is primarily foretelling the mind of God. We speak into circumstances and situations, the mind of God, and expect a change. Amen. That's what prophecy is. So you receive the words in your spirit, inspired by the Spirit, and you speak it forth. And we also say that it means you can stir yourself to prophesy. Stir. Well, I believe we talked about stirring yourself to prophesy. You don't wait for the Spirit to come upon you. Like Rigusot would say, he said, if the Spirit doesn't move me, I move the Spirit. That's a man of faith talking. If the Spirit doesn't move me, I move the Spirit. You know what he's saying? Stirring himself up to move in the Spirit. Let me just say this to bless you. Do you know that prophecy is one of the nine gifts of the Spirit revealed in 1 Corinthians 12? How many of you are aware? He said to one word of knowledge, word of wisdom. He mentioned prophecy there. And the same book, Paul says he warns every believer to prophesy. Watch this. It is called the gift of what? Of the Spirit. Gift of the Spirit to who? Talk to me. To who? To the believer, right? Gift of the Spirit to the believer. So if the gift is given to you, who owns the gift now? So when if I give you a gift, do I have a control over the use of that gift? Oh God Almighty. You are getting it now. You are getting it now. If I gave you a car, I said, oh, Endurance, this car is for you. Am I going to control how I use it? That will become witchcraft. I said, that car, when you drive it, don't exceed 100. Eh? Don't exceed 100. Eh? Wash it every morning. Have you washed that car? Then I didn't give it to you. Maybe I was just using your pops' car. And he has control over it. But the moment I give it to you as a gift. Imagine I give you a designer spef. And I say, hey, don't spray too much. In Arwana, as in, glory to God. You can finish it in one day. Is it my business anymore? Oh, glory to God. You are getting what I'm saying. Prophecy is what we can stir by ourselves to move in. Knowing that God has given to every believer that gift. You stir yourself and prophesy. It has great impacts. You stir yourself and prophesy. Cutting through oppositions. Let me tell you, when you are faced with staggering opposition, what to do after praying is to prophesy. Don't just pray. Your prayer must move over to prophecy. Prophecy. Prophecy, foretelling. Foretelling rather. Tell it forth. Decree words of power. Because there's a sword in your mouth. Oh, we saw that in 1 Kings. Just put it up for me briefly. Let me just see. 1 Kings 19. 1 Kings 19. I believe it was verse... Who remembers? We took it last year. Verse 15 to 17. Very quickly. Cutting through opposition through prophecy. And the Lord said unto him, go. That said unto Elijah now. Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be the king over Syria. Next verse. I mean, these men were territorial prophets. Listen, Elijah was a Jew. Amen. Israel. But he had influence on who the king of Syria should be. God, so he said, anoint Hazael to be the king of Syria. My goodness. Territorial prophets. That means his influence was not only in Israel. Crossed over to Syria. And if you notice, he transferred the same token to Elisha. The same token. And when you study 2 Kings chapter 8, when Elisha was coming to Damascus, the king of Syria was sick. He sent the same Hazael to go and meet him with gifts. He said, thy son Ben-Hadad is sick. What shall be the outcome? Territorial. And those days are here again. Where the kings seek counsel from the prophets. Hallelujah. No prophet going to government house to look for money. It's a disgrace. He's a shame. He's an anomaly. Waiting for hours for the envelope to come out. If you are called to pulpit ministry here, never do it. Let your shadow never do that. It's an insult on the God that sent you. I can never be found there. Never. Never. In the lineage I came from, we don't do that. Because when you talk, you can't speak to kings without bending your mouth. You will corrupt your judgments. Why you have sold your soul? Never. Oh, never, never, never. Let me proceed. It annoys me personally. Territorial. He says, anoint, and Jehu the son of Nimshi shall thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel Meholah, shall thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. Next verse. Say, there's a sword in my mouth. What do you do when you hear gunshots at your gates? Are you going to lie down with fear or open your mouth and talk? What do you do in that alive situation? The doctor hands you a report and said you have a terminal illness. I told you, faith believes for the best but is ready for the worst to change it. Did you hear what I said? He doesn't accept the worst, he's ready to change it. You must know that there's a sword in your mouth to change any situation. You know, and at such time, it's not time to lower your voice. You raise your voice. Higher. You raise your voice, speaking in tongues and releasing words of power. Releasing words of power. Look at this. And it shall come to pass that he that escapes the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay. Notice, Hazael and Jehu are men of war, so they use physical sword. If you read further, you see Hazael, he was a bad guy. You see Jehu, when they anointed him, they told the guy, run, anointing in a hurry, so that it doesn't start with you. But Elisha was a prophet. Here's my point. How was he going to do his own part? Look at this. He said, and him that escaped the sword of Hazael, Jehu, shall Jehu slay. And him that escapes from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. I can't stop thinking about this part of scriptures. Elisha slaying with what? With a sword in his mouth. With a sword in his mouth. With a sword in his mouth. We read Ezekiel last week. Ezekiel 11 verse 13. He said, as I prophesied, Pelatiah the son of Benaiah died. As I prophesied, where was the sword in his mouth? That's what you use to counsel oppositions. To speak for words. Words that cut through rocks. Because the moment you see it and say it, God is committed. Now you can give me ESV of that Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 12. Very quickly, put it up. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 12. The moment you speak it, God moves. Look at this. Then said Jehovah unto me, thou hast seen well. You know, he said, son of man, what can you see? He said, I see a branch of an almond tree. You remember? He said, thou hast seen well. Look at the next thing. Thou hast seen well. For, yes, me. No, still 12 now. We're not done. For I watch over my word to perform it. Watch over my word to perform it. God keeps watch over his words for performance. Never forget that. So when you speak it forth, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. No lack here, no scarcity here. In the name of the Lord Jesus, the Lord is with me as the mighty, terrible one. Therefore my persecutor shall stumble. They shall not prevail. Their everlasting shame cannot be forgotten. God will watch over that word to perform it. He watches over his word. Listen, every word that God has given you, they will not go unfulfilled though. Never get discouraged. Never, they can never go unfulfilled. Give me Genesis chapter 28, verse 15, very quickly. They can't go unfulfilled. Listen, God is loyal to the covenant and committed to his word concerning you. I want to tell Saul this morning, God is loyal to his covenant and committed to his word concerning you. Look at this. And behold, I am with you. And will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. This is God talking to Jacob. For I will not leave you until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Let this scripture minister to you. Thus hear the Lord to someone this morning. I will not leave you until I have fulfilled every word I have spoken concerning you. Endorse it. Believe it and say it to yourself all the time. The Lord will never leave me until he has fulfilled every word he has spoken about me. Listen, there are words he has spoken for 2018. They are not for 2019. So we'll stand on that word and say, Lord, you are not leaving until you have fulfilled the word you spoke for 2018. Give me message translation of these same scriptures. The message translation. Yes, I will stay with you. I will protect you. That's the promise of the presence and of protection. And I will bring you back to this very ground. I will stick with you until I've done everything I promised you. Can I get an amen? God watches over his words to perform it. When you speak it, know that God is committed. Why? He's loyal to his covenant, committed to his word. Hallelujah. Let me share another thought with us this morning before we close. Two thoughts before we close the first service. The principle for possession in the New Testament is prophecy. Hey, I say that again. The principle for possession. We are shouting, upon Mount Zion there shall be deliverance, and the sons of Jacob shall possess their possession. Ah, you shall possess your possession. He has brought us into the inheritance of the saints. How do we possess our possessions in the New Testament? Prophecy. Prophecy. That's the principle for possession. If it's a literal land, you know, in the Old Testament, God told them, wherever the soles of your feet shall touch, I have given you to inherit. That still stands, but we have gone further in the New Testament. Oh, is somebody hearing me this morning? Listen, the New Testament, wherever your mouth takes is yours. Meaning you don't need to be on the portion of land. If it's a land or a property, you can stay in the corner of your room and take it by prophecy. Or some of you will get it next week. You will stand there and take it by prophecy. You want a job in the company, he's not going there and say, get my security man, let me in, as my feet has touched this place, I get my job here. No. That's for them Old Testament folks. You stand in your room and release words of power. Oh, you remember the brother that got a job with the oil company? Some months ago, I don't remember, that was in TOP. She has gone to Lagos now. We miss him. We spoke 3 days ago. Word of prophecy. Second service, the only word that came out of my mouth. I said, somebody is getting a miracle job this week. About 24 hours from then, he got the job. On the outward, it looked like it will never happen. No God will tell me, no God, no Godfather. You have Father God. You don't need Godfather. That's the principle for possession. Prophetic utterance. Somebody is giving you trouble. You stand in him. Hi. Did you hear what I said? You stand in your room and warn him. You are not even seeing him. Sometimes you may need to see him face to face and warn. But sometimes you stand in your room and warn. I'm talking about the principle of possession. Prophecy. You stick there and the guy enters affliction, terror. Every time your thought crosses his mind, he loses his peace. He's afraid. He's scared. Brothers and sisters, we have things that are working for us. We have things that are working for us. Let's use them. That's the principle of possession. Jesus said in Mark 11, 23, 24, he says, you shall have what you say. He talked about speaking to the mountain and moving the mountains. How? By calling contractors. Speakings of your mouth. He says, you'll have what you say. You speak it and you see it. You shall have what you say. Fast forward to the early church. How did they take possession of territories? How did the word of God, the Bible says, in the city of Ephesus, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. In Acts 19 verse 20, all over Ephesus, Paul took it. How? Speakings. Oh my goodness. Speakings. He ran the soothsayers out of business. He ran sorcerers out of business. How? Speakings. Prophetic utterance. You know he was preaching, and when you are preaching, you prophesy. Speakings. Don't joke with your mouth. Don't joke with your mouth. I want you from this service deliberately focus on what you want to change. Gather the scriptures about this. Tell yourself and prophesy. And watch out for the outcome. They took territories by speakings. They took nations by speaking. Did you know that Paul planted a church in the house of Caesar? What a man. In the house of Caesar. They took nations. You know, when they were testifying in verse 13, the Bible says all of Asia fell to the gospel. All of Asia. Oh, we can say all of northern Nigeria has fallen to the gospel. As we stand and declare and speak for the words of life, people are having encounters with Jesus in their house, in their prayer places. They are seeing the master. Through those prophetic utterances, we facilitate encounters that will lead to strategic conversions. Know what you have and use it. Am I talking? Hope you have been prophesying this month. Prophesy. Your eyes will see it. Oh, your eyes. For nothing can stop the power of prophecy. Your eyes will see it. That is the principle of possession in the New Testament. You take a hold by your words. Back then, they had to go there and put their feet. Here we have to speak. Yes, now you know why God was angry with Moses. He says the Son of God will be struck just once. After then, you just speak and have what you want. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. He told Moses, he said, go speak to the rock and water will come out. Moses, because he was angry, hit it. Altering prophetic pattern. God was angry. He said, you will not enter into that place. We speak and we see. We speak and we see. Listen, let me say this in this service. Have you ever heard the term sound code? Who has ever heard that term? Sound coding. Now, this is what it means. It's a very spiritual word. Very, very spiritual. Very spiritual. Now, do you know that you learned the languages? Maybe your mother's language, or where you grew up, or English language, you learnt it by sound coding. You learnt it by sound coding. For example, how many of you here understand Hausa? Hausa language. Okay. A few of us understand Hausa language. If I point to this, and I said, what is it in Hausa? Hold on. Someone here who doesn't understand Hausa will never know what it means. Who understands Hausa here? Let me do a very practical thing. It will help you understand. You understand Hausa? Okay. Who doesn't understand Hausa at all? You don't understand Hausa at all. You don't understand Hausa at all. Okay. Harry, okay, Harry, come, very quickly. Okay, just stand here. You come. Precious, come. It will help you understand. So that you know that the things you are speaking to were coded from the beginning to hear your word. Come. Just come this way. When I ask you a question, you answer in Hausa. Just stand here, don't go close.
Miss Nanka.
So you understand Efik, right? Efik.
You want again said that.
Did you hear what?
No, no, sir.
Did you hear what?
No, sir.
How many of you heard what she said in Hausa? How many of you heard what he said in Efik? First lady will understand. How many of you heard what he said in Efik? In Efik. What did he say in Efik?
You want to get me saying anything? Okay,
say it.
I don't understand what you're saying.
What did you say in Hausa?
What's your name?
Hold on. How many of you heard what Precious said in Hausa? Why did you hear her? Because you understood. You were coded while you were growing up. Now, if he spoke to you that understands Hausa, you are going to respond. You understand? The same way, you can go back to your seats. The same way, the whole, listen to me, brethren, listen. The whole of the material universe, the whole of matter, space, and time, including your body, including money, including the soil, has been programmed to hear what you say and to respond. They are programmed to hear what you say and to respond. When you say money cometh, money head. Why? Money was programmed to hear you when you call it. When you say in the name of Jesus, I command the growth to dematerialize. Every growth, whether fibroid, whatever the growth is, has been programmed to hear the voice of Jesus. Remember, you said in the name of Jesus. In fact, beyond that, they've been programmed to hear the voice of you as a child of God. Use what you have. Never feel helpless, because you are not helpless. Never act as though you don't have help. Learn to talk to things to walk. Jesus spoke to trees. He spoke to the fish. He said, cast your net. You have the catch of your life. It happened. What happened? Let me tell you, if you understand fishing, a lot of activity doesn't allow fish in that particular area. He said they are toyed on like, you know what that meant? They had stirred the waters. So if there was any fish around there, they had relocated to downstream. But the moment he said, nevertheless, at thy word. Either the fish were created, or all the fish downstream say, we are going upstream. Hey! Something is calling us. We don't get stranded. Rise to your feet. I'm out of time. We don't get stranded. Your life is going in a direction you don't like. Change it. You speak. Speak to it. Can you speak in tongues right where you are? Just speak in the spirit, and I will speak words. But thank God for our spiritual weapons and arsenal. Thank God for the privilege of the spirit realm. Father, we thank you. Father, we give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. Zobada lagindo soste bratila konze stepai. We love you, Lord. Thank you. What a savior you are. I want to make an altar call this morning. Just close your eyes and bow your head. I want to give someone standing here the privilege of this moment. You are here this morning, you've not given your heart to Jesus. You know you are not saved. You know Jesus is not the Lord of your life yet. I want to pray for you. Right where you are, I want you to raise your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me. I want the counselors to be on their alert with the cards. Right where you are, I want you to raise your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm not saved. I need to be saved. I want to make Jesus my Lord. Just raise your hand. I want my sins forgiven. Nothing to be ashamed of. Listen, some of us were worse than you. But Jesus washed us. He transformed our lives. If it's not telling you where some of us are coming from, you'll be surprised. But God, the blood of Jesus is potent. It can wash away every sin, every stain, every fear, every guilt. Just raise your hand right where you are. Jesus loves you. God bless you, my brother over there. God bless you, my brother over there. God bless you. Nothing to be ashamed of. Nothing to be ashamed of. Nothing to be ashamed of. Quickly pass the stuff across to them. Nothing to be ashamed of. In case you are still wondering, is he talking to me? Yes, the Lord is talking to you. This is the moment. This is the time. Make sure to get the cards. This is the moment. This is the time to be saved, to respond to the gospel. Right where you are with your hands lifted, can we pray this prayer with them to encourage them? The Bible says for you to be saved, for your sins to be forgiven, you have to believe something in your heart and confess something with your mouth. Just right where you are with your hands lifted, and I want us to join them. They're going to say, Dear God, I believe that you love me. I believe that you sent Jesus, your son, to die for me. He died for my sins. He was raised after 3 days for my justification. Today I stand and I declare that that same Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. I receive forgiveness of sins. By the blood of Jesus, my sins are washed away. I'm a new creation. I'm a new man. All things are passed away. Everything has become new. I'm saved. I'm sanctified. In the name of Jesus. And somebody shout amen. Celebrate Jesus. Hallelujah.
We believe the Word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.